I'm preaching from Romans 12, 11, so an electronic device or paper Bible, you can go there. I will have it up. It's a short verse, Romans 12, 11, going verse by verse through Romans. We're arriving here. The Spirit has been urging us to use our abilities in this section that Paul's gotten to. He had all this deep theology that he's laid out. But the doing side of Christianity is also deep theology. He's getting into this area about helping one another, building one another up. We need to love others. We need to do this without hypocrisy. And we've been told that we need to give preference to one another. And we need to be devoted to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And then verse 11 says this, "Do not lag in zeal, be boiling hot in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Prepare your heart for this sermon, called to be fired up to serve the Lord." Let's pray. Well, Lord, we do want to be fired up to serve you. And we know that you've given us your word so that we can be urged into these things and understand that that's part of your will. I'm asking that you would bless me to preach your word and to be able to edify, to build up the people here, and that we would live what we learn. I ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are called. All Christians are called. And here your goal is purposely to serve Christ as Lord, as Master, to align your thoughts and actions with his will. That's what I'm called to do, whether I'm a pastor or not. This is what we're all called to do. And it started when I said yes to the gospel, when you said yes to the gospel. We said yes to Jesus. And so when you said yes to Jesus, you received him as Savior, which means, here's what we did, you obeyed him as Lord. A lot of times we don't think about that, but that's what we did. This is what he wants. And so Jesus, with him, salvation means we obey him. But after we're saved in this relationship, Jesus owns you now. This is what we've been getting, remember, from some past layout in Romans. You're his bondservant. He changed you to serve him in this newness of life that he's gifted you with. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, you were called to be Christ's bondservant. And a bondservant is a willing slave. That's what it was culturally. That's what it is in this relationship with Christ. Bondservants follow their master out of love. And the word Lord means master. So the calling is, don't lag in zeal. Be boiling hot in the Spirit, serving your master. Your master bought you with his own life on the cross. He purchased you from being owned by sin and death. This is what we're thinking about in this relationship. He did this to bring you into freedom in himself. And in his ownership, you are freed from sin. You're declared righteous forever. And so you can also be living the life of Christ, manifesting it in the world. And so you should be thinking, I've been saved from slavery to death into serving the Savior of life. Lord, you rescued me. I'm yours. I'm bought by you from damnation. Bought with your own life. I'm empowered by you to serve you willingly according to your will. And I gladly, Lord, I willingly live my life for you in my days that I have left on earth. I will be living my life forever in the resurrection. I do that willingly now, Master. What do you want me to do? This should be what we're always saying as Christians. What do you want me to do? Well, Jesus wants you to know what to do. So he blessed us with Scripture. Biblical direction guides you down the right path. When I teach and I preach, my whole intention is to get to what the Lord wants. I want to get this out to everybody else. All of us are bondservants, and so we have his word available to us to know what our Lord wants. It's got all the principles, and it's got the precepts. It's got his lessons. It's got his illustrations. So when you study it and you learn from it, it directs your thoughts and your decisions and your actions. And what that means is that the Lord is directing you. Look at it that way. So you go about your day, not just today, but every day. Think about how to serve the Lord in each step. Think about how you need to be pleasing your master. How do you please the master? Well, use Scripture to make the decision. And be deliberate, like he's watching you, like he's with you. Be deliberate, because that's what we are when he's watching us and when he's with us. And he loves you, and you love him. And if you're not intentionally seeking him on the most common matters, what's going to happen is you're going to get distracted. So this has to be in everything. Your life is going to look like you're serving something else if it's not in all the matters. So the Word of God is going to get us discerning what the interests of Jesus are. And so one of the things that we want to know is, what does he want in the world today? What does he want? We got a lot of things that we want. Well, his word tells you he has a new covenant will for the church, those that are called out in Christ. Well, that's the will that you need to be looking for. And the crystallization of the will of God in our generation, in your life, is new covenant-oriented action found mainly, not only, but mainly in the direction of the New Testament. Now, the whole Bible is for you. It informs you. But know that the New Testament, New Covenant Scripture is your special guidance material from the Holy Spirit. Paul calls it the ministry of the Spirit. That's what we're in right now. So when you look at the Scriptures to listen and to learn, New Covenant orientation is the clarity for knowing God's will. It'll keep you getting off on all kinds of weird legalistic law stuff and rituals and all kinds of stuff that you don't need to get into. Now, in our day, this is the way to serve him. And so when you look for his interest, this is the uncluttered way to find it for each moment. Because we want it not to be cluttered. We want clarity. That's what I want. That's what I'm trying to get out here when I preach too. So he's already established his new covenant in the cross and resurrection. And he's given you the life and the Spirit. He's given you the Holy Spirit. Now live that life in respect to the daily grind. I mean, every little issue could be a political stand. It could be an entertainment choice. These things are lordship areas. Could be a work choice, something you're doing throughout the day, even working in the garden, on your car, driving down the road. This is a lordship area I'm talking about. It could be a partnering choice with somebody, aligning yourself with someone or a political party or something. It's this way everywhere. The Bible is not going to address everything specifically like it's an analyzing kind of a tool of a video of all the details of your daily life. That's not what it's doing, because it's the new covenant revelation that's there, and it's going to teach you the principles and the precepts that Jesus and his apostles is concerned with for Christians, and Jesus is the one that revealed the revelation to the apostles of his will in the new covenant. And his main interests are very, very, very clear. And actually, they're the clearest. Here's one. Jesus is interested in what you do as a Christian for other Christians. That's the Lord. That's what he's interested in. Here's another one. The Lord is interested in shining his light through you to non-Christians. He wants people to see Jesus himself coming out of you in the reflection. It's what he wants them to know about you. Because he wants them to know him. And so the risen Lord sees his church as this group that serves him. He calls his church his body on earth. So he sees you as a body member. Serve him like you are his hands and his feet. I want you to get a life-changing thought right now. So jot this down. I'll put it in the forefront of your mind. Serve Jesus like you're bringing him out to other people. Serve Jesus like you're bringing him to other people. So when others experience you, here's what we want them to experience. Jesus. And it's more than an illustration. It's the manifestation of his life that he put in you. So what we're doing is we're serving Jesus like we're bringing him to other people. And the Lord has things for you to do in his design for the body. So when you survey all the scriptures, obeying him is seen in one main package in all of this. It's manifesting his life in relationships. You are bringing his life out in every single relationship. What you do for other Christians, shining his light to non-Christians, these are relationships. And there's a lot of ways to testify salvation to non-Christians. Evangelism is manifesting his life to the unsaved. Anybody you tell about Jesus is getting evangelized, and when you do that, you're serving the Lord. And you can't make anyone get saved, but you can serve Jesus. See how this works? The evangelism part is actually serving Jesus. Serving Jesus is the success in evangelism. Okay, you do want to see people hear the gospel. You do want them to know about the miracles of Jesus, about him going to the cross, dying for their sins, raising from the dead, being forgiven by grace through faith in him. But the people that hear the gospel might disobey the Lord and reject it. But what have you done? This is what I'm trying to get at. You have served the master. That's your relationship in all this with Him. You have brought Him to them. See? And so loving other Christians, our brothers and sisters in deeds, is the same way. This is what Jesus is doing with His body on earth. Galatians 5:13 tells us that you serve the others through love. Well, that's what it says to do. Serve one another through love. And Galatians 6:2 says it's bearing their burdens. It gives you a description. And then it says this, and thereby you fulfill the law of Christ. So we're to be serving each other in love, bearing one another's burdens, and this fulfills the law of Christ. He's the Lord. We are looking at purposely serving Christ by aligning our thoughts and our actions with His will. It's in every pocket of life, everywhere. So, what's another one? How about avoiding sin? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says it's the will of God to abstain from sexual immorality. Pretty clear. And then Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, set apart, acceptable to the Lord. Don't be conformed to the sinful things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're going to discern what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You don't have to go around thinking, well, what's good and what's acceptable and what's perfect? You're going to know. And when you do it, and you're transforming your mind, you're serving Christ Jesus as Lord. And so whatever you do, this is the way I live my life. I'm not in perfection, but I seek the Lord this way as well. So in whatever I do, whatever you do, we need to be making the effort to check with our Master on it. Align our thoughts and actions with His will. And so the high call that we see here is to be fired up to do this. Fired up to serve the Lord. So I want to get to the fire. You know, the fire is serving your Lord with ambition, enthusiasm, and passion. God wants you to be boiling, boiling, boiling hot. So you got to turn up your zeal. You know, some translations take the Greek for being boiling hot, and they put be enthusiastic. They put be fervent. But the literal meaning of the Greek word means to be boiling. That's what it means. The literal meaning gives the intensity of a very strong word picture of what God wants, doesn't it? And the Lord wants you to serve Him in a fired up way. It's ambitious, it's passionate, it's enthusiastic, it's fervent. You know, the Spirit's saying, this must become your new normal. And so the poetic term might seem radical in our day. Some people might think it's fanaticism. Well, that's because of a new cultural dictation of what Christianity is supposed to look like in our day. It's not new covenant revelation, it's a new cultural dictation. And the influence kind of spreads around from person to person, and you'll notice this. I notice it as a pastor. And what happens is Christians are looking at those who serve the Lord in a lukewarm way, like that's the standard of normal. And so it's a problem, because that's not the, it's becoming the new standard of normal, but it's not supposed to be. And this problem that we have already in the world is that the world calls us fanatics for just being Christians. And they definitely call us fanatics for wanting to serve the Lord at all, right? But it's a bigger problem when your own mediocre brothers and sisters drag you down by trying to douse the flames. And this is part of the reasons why the church is a mess in our day. And I'm talking globally. There are people who claim to be Christians who call you a radical just for doing this expected thing, living God's word. How in the world can that be something that is radical for a Christian to do? That's classic Christianity. That's Jesus. That's the church. And they will treat you like you are a fanatic. Do not underestimate the influence of what others think. It's huge. What others think is an effective wrecker of the gifts, callings, plans, and mandates of God. And this is what God thinks. He has the direction in His word, and what He's saying, this is what I need to be thinking, and you need to be thinking. So here's what you do. Serve the Lord. Just ignore what they say. And do this. Influence them in the calling that we all have, which means influence them in your calling. The Lord's not making a new urging here. It's not something new. It's not special. It's not unique. It's not random. This is the way it's always been for over 2,000 years. He says you need to be boiling hot with interest and action according to the fire of the Spirit as classic Christianity. You need to serve Him with His passion. See, it's all about His passion. He's wanting you to have his passion, not just your own. He wants you to be passionate with what he's empowered you to be. And this is the thing about this. It's his fire. His way is the good, acceptable, and perfect way. And other Christians may turn their back on you. Well, that just means that they're the fanatics. Say, how's that? Well, they're fanatics about making sure that they act like mediocre Christians. They're fanatics about living in spiritual confusion. Spiritual confusion is one of the worst curses of Christians in our day. The world looks at us and they go, I don't know what the difference between you and me is. I don't actually, there is no difference. But you know what else? There are Christians that want non-Christians to not know that there's any difference. That's spiritual confusion. But your master pats you on the back and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the one. See, that's the one you serve. And he tells you it's awesome to serve him this way. So listen to your Lord. I mean, was your Lord a fanatic when he went to the cross for you? Come on. Well, you know, by all earthly standards, what else would that be? And if others don't like what you're doing, it's their problem. That's what is going on. They have competing interests. They have their own standards, not the Lord's. Let's be real. They have their own standards, not the Lord's. And here's the thing. God's talking to them too. So you see the real problem, don't you? They're not serving the Lord in what he's telling them to do. So I always find it to be fascinating that the world is on fire. It's consumed with so many empty things. All of us do it. Everybody. Me too. You know, we can get fired up and consumed with empty things. And it's amazing how people think it's normal to be fanatics about pockets of their lives they happen to approve of. It's normal to be a fanatic in my time, their interests, their hobbies, their business, whatever. Why is it this way? Because a different standard of fanaticism is being okay when it occurs because it comes to what they like to do. It's just a different standard. Why? I like to do it, so it's not really fanaticism, or I approve of my fanaticism, or whatever. So when they see you pursuing the high standard of Scripture, the Lord, it exposes their problem of not wanting to pursue a high standard themselves. People don't like that. Well, sometimes they do, because it convicts them and they change. When you expose them to be the fanatics about lack of zeal, about being cold in the Spirit in the relationship with Jesus, typically they don't like it. And so here's what you say to a Christian like that. Say this, I'm not better than you at all. Let's help each other out. Your Lord and my Lord tells us what to do. Let's do this together as the body of Christ. Let's just quit lagging in zeal. I mean, everybody around us is going to influence us that way. Let's look to the Lord and let's build each other up together. We're the hands, we're the feet, we're the body, right? And here's what we need to do together. Let's be boiling hot in the Spirit. Let's serve him in togetherness. Let's do that together and see what great things the Lord does with us in our generation. I'm not going to think you're weird. That's what we say to one another. I will respect you. There's not going to be any spiritual confusion. And the thing is, you're not judging other people. What you're doing is you're discerning, and you're trying to operate in Christianity, biblically serving the Lord. You're wanting progress. So deal with people like that in love and keep pointing them to the Word of God. Don't point them to your own opinions. Because that's all they've got that they're messing with and they're throwing at you. Give them the Lord's opinion. When the Lord sees his people serving him this way, what he does is he receives it as beautiful worship. There's another thing about this. When you are boiling with zeal, your readiness, you're ready to go. That readiness factor is kicked up a notch. You see, cold Christians will notice that too. You are emblazoned for action. You're ready to do something. You're in the zone for doing something. They're not. And it becomes very evident to them. And they see that they're frozen, but they see you're energized. You are in seeking mode, go mode, doing mode. You're treating Jesus like more than a ticket into heaven. So being fired up is also like an encouragement to other Christians. You're kind of exhorting them with your life to use the flames of intentionality to impact the world. They're seeing you and they're being influenced by you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Well, this is why I don't want to see us become an iceberg kind of church, one that looks like an entertainment center. You know, ice parks are good at distracting. An ice park church can distract you from the full counsel of God very quickly. I'm not against having fun in church and stuff like that, but listen to what I'm saying. It's very tempting for me to go the entertainment center Christianity route because it's being pushed so hard in our day. I'm a pastor. I get all the mail. I get all the email, all the web stuff, all the stuff, you know, the latest, greatest, newest, coolest thing that you're supposed to do as a church. And it's just so much of it, man. You're not giving me any meat here. And that's what we're not giving anybody else with that stuff either. But the thing about all this advertisement I get is, including the people that do this, it's always advertising itself as relevant. But the shiny glitter is covering a lot of spiritually irrelevant things, folks. Have little to do with serving the Lord. Very little. But there's another danger area. It's service that has a tiny bit of warmth in it. And it's called lukewarm. And abounding in the work of the Lord is the opposite of lukewarm. Boiling hot is the opposite of lukewarm. Lukewarm service is going along and it's acting like you're not sure you really know that you want to do anything. Oh, yeah, you're Lord, but, you know, I just don't really know if I really want to do much about that. Lukewarm service is another symptom of being distracted, very distracted in our days. And so this is why Paul has two important things here, has a positive and a negative. The positive is be boiling. The negative is don't lag in zeal. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't settle for lukewarm. You're called to focus. Don't allow anything to keep you from boiling, ambitious, passionate, enthusiastic, fervent service, money, sex, things. Should take the back seat to serving the Lord in zeal. Don't get so wrapped up in your politics, in your business, in your hobbies, in your friendships. You know, that zeal for them robs your zeal in serving the Lord. It's easy to do. Don't let laziness pour water on the fire. So you're called, but think of yourself this way. You are God's minister. The word minister means servant. You are God's minister. You are his servant serving the Lord. And you are God's minister called to be a bright light in our generation. So shine as you deal with things like money and sex or anything. Shine when it comes to business and politics and hobbies and friendships and food, whatever. The banner that you hold up is this: I'm zealous for you. That's what you're showing everybody. Serve the Lord that way and you can pursue anything that you want to do. Now listen to me on this. It's not that you're called to turn your back on everything else that's not Jesus. That is not what this calling is. It's that you're called to do everything while serving Jesus. Paul said, 1 Corinthians, that whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. So do whatever you want to do, right? Do whatever you do, but do it as unto the Lord. But that's the thing. You do whatever you want to do, but do it serving the Lord and in boiling, ambitious, passionate, enthusiastic, fervent service. That's the fire part. Now, when I look at all this, what stands out is doing this in the Spirit. And we can't just brush over truth like this. Some Bible translations put doing this in spirit with a lowercase s on spirit. There were no capital letters in the Greek back then, but Paul put the article to before spirit, to pneuma, which means it is the Spirit, not just spirit. That's in all the Greek texts. Usually, references to your spirit are given a little s by translators. References to the Spirit are usually given a capital S to show that it's God. And you got different translations that will just put little s spirit here, but you got other ones that will put the with a capital S spirit. Now, in our context, Romans 1:4 says, Jesus Christ our Lord was declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit, in power according to the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit's work in our life in serving the Lord here. Romans 5:1 says, the love of God was poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to you. And then chapter 8 is so full of it. It speaks of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. It speaks of walking according to the Spirit, not yours. Setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, not yours. It says saved people are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in them. You do realize the Spirit of God is a person, and He actually does dwell in you. All Christians in that God way that God knows how to do that. He is in every single one of us as temples of the Holy Spirit. It's what makes us the body of Christ as more than a poetic metaphor. I mean, He's really in us. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it says, he does not belong to Christ. All of these are in chapter 8. Since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Paul says, He will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. It says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of Him. That you have you received a spirit of adoption by whom you cry out to the Father. It says the Spirit Himself testifies with your spirit. That's two. The Spirit Himself testifies with your spirit that you're a child of God. And God, who searches all the hearts, He knows the mind of the Spirit and what it is, because the Spirit intercedes for you in prayer. That's only chapter 8 of Romans. Volumes and volumes and volumes more. So leaving the Greek article "the" there, like it should be, you're told to be boiling hot in the Holy Spirit of God. So this tells us something. Like the rest of Romans shows, the Holy Spirit, as the person, is actually with you all the time. So just like serving the Lord is to be an all the time in every area thing, the Holy Spirit's there all the time in every area too. He doesn't leave you. He's there. And His power in every single moment is vital for everything you do as a Christian, especially serving the Lord. And it should really, really impress you. Doesn't this impress you? It blows me away. And so the zeal and the fire is what you do, but you do it by and in the Holy Spirit. All glory goes to Him. And you know, there's an amazing minister in the Bible. His name is Apollos. Acts 18:25 says Apollos was fervent. Apollos had zeal. And it says Apollos was fervent in the Spirit. Well, Apollos was boiling hot in the Holy Spirit. And it says Apollos was fervent in the Spirit, speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. Well, Apollos is your example. He shows how you work with the Spirit working in you too. And by the way, what's really weird is that some interpretations do that same confusing thing with Apollos in Acts 18:25. They just, I don't know, the translators decided to leave out the article "the," which is actually there in the Greek as "to." I mean, it's there. It's "to pneuma," and it's "the Spirit." You know, other translations are faithful to the Greek. They put "the Spirit" like it should be. And so what this means for you is that serving the Lord in the Spirit is another way of saying you are manifesting the life of Christ Jesus. And folks, it is all about His life. All about boasting in Him. It's all about relying on Him. You should be relying on Him to manifest Him. And reliance is the key. There is no showmanship. Any boasting must be in who? The same Lord you serve. I serve. We all serve. You are walking by His Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the sinful desires of the flesh." That's the Holy Spirit. You do the walking, but there's still no boasting, right? The sinful desires of the flesh really are left behind, but God gets all the glory because your walk is by the Spirit. Otherwise, just a bunch of religious activity. And next in 5:18, Paul said, "He did not want to speak of anything except what Jesus Christ accomplished through Him." Wow! When we look at ourselves, let's think the same thing. And again, it's every little pocket. In serving Christ Jesus as Master, don't speak of anything except what He accomplishes through you in doing it. See, you're in the Spirit. And Paul said his preaching was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Okay, well, that's what I'm doing when I'm preaching God's truth from His Word. I don't see that I have any exceptional preaching talent. I don't think my sermons are amazing examples of speech making. I'm not powerful. And I know, though, that any good that comes from them is a demonstration of the Spirit and His power. Not my spirit. Not my power. It's Him. It's His Word. So serve the Lord. Do it biblically. Trust your Master. The Spirit is the power person in what you do. Keep the focus off yourself, but be zealous. Go forward as God's man, God's woman in this generation. Trust that the Spirit is working in your life wherever you go. Help the others do this. Seek His guidance. Seek to fulfill your calling to be filled up to serve the Lord. Amen? So recapping everything, your high call is to have this fired up way. And it's serving the Lord. And it's supposed to be the old normal. Remember? And so your calling is to purposely and intentionally serve Christ Jesus as your loving master. You got to think of Him as your master. He's a loving master. He's not despotic. He's your friend master. He's real. And your calling is to be boiling hot, not lagging in zeal as you do it. And always know that serving the Lord in the Spirit is the life. He's the life and He's the power in it all.